Our reading for today is from the book of Colossians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychius will tell you about my activity. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and faithful, assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you, and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and Nympha, and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Andrew Fields, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Valparaiso, Indiana.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, the Church's mission has always involved two related movements: a move outward to make disciples of all nations, and a move inward to teach the baptized to live according to everything Jesus commanded. In his letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul spends most of his time looking inward, correcting a young congregation that was being confused and misled by a variety of teachings that didn't jibe with Jesus. But now, as he brings his letter to a close, Paul turns the focus of the Colossian Christians outward with these instructions. He writes, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person." And so it was that the congregation in Asia Minor that was planted by the missionary efforts of Epaphras, a friend of Paul and convert through Paul to Christ, was now being invited to see itself as a mission outpost in a pagan world. What about today? In his book, Effective Church Leadership, author Kenan Callahan writes provocatively about the mission of the church in North America at the dawn of the 21st century. He writes, "The day of the professional minister is over. The day of the missionary pastor has come. The day of the churched culture is over. The day of the mission field has come. The day of the local church is over. The day of the mission outpost has come. Writing in 1990, Callahan recognized what we see all the more clearly in 2014. It may sadden American Christians to see Christianity on the wane in their country, and understandably so. But one of the blessings of being Christian in a post-Christian culture is that the New Testament epistles, originally written to Christian congregations living in non-Christian cultures, become relevant in a way they hadn't before. Of course, there are many differences between first-century pagan culture and 21st-century neo-pagan culture. But Paul's instructions for the mission congregation in Colossae remain sound and relevant instructions for mission congregations in North America today. Paul begins by teaching mission congregations to be watchful and thankful in prayer. Thankful to God for all things because of Christ who has come to save us. And watchful. Watchful each day for that day when Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, bringing this missionary age to a close. Watchfulness remains critical for missionary congregations. Watchful in prayer, we are reminded of our purpose, to make known the love of Christ in word and deed until He comes. Watchfulness creates in us a sense of urgency about each day the Lord gives us. Make the most of every opportunity, Paul writes. Paul also teaches mission congregations to pray for missionaries like himself. First, he asks for open doors for the gospel to be proclaimed. But Paul is not interested in proclamation for proclamation's sake. He's interested finally that the message he proclaims be heard and understood and believed. So he solicits prayers for clarity, clarity of mind and of thought, clarity of speech, so that the message might get through loudly and clearly. Third, Paul asks for vocational support, for a sustained sense of calling. Pray that I proclaim the message as I should, he writes. It is easy to become distracted, easy to lose sense of what is important, easy to begin to doubt that what you're doing is having any effect. And so Paul asks for prayer support, that he continue to do what the Lord has called him to do, trusting that for Jesus' sake, his work will not be in vain. Missionary pastors today, both abroad and at home, need the same prayers from Christ's church. But missionary congregations are not only prayer partners. Each member is a missionary. Missionary wisdom sees relationships with outsiders as opportunities to bear witness to Christ. Let your conduct before outsiders be wise, Paul writes. Wise, like the Proverbs. And let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Grace is undeserved favor. What might a conversation full of undeserved favor sound like? Refreshingly different, I suppose, than so much of what we're used to hearing. Salt preserves what is good and makes that which is good taste even better. And you know how it is with salt. A little goes a long way. What might a word seasoned with salt sound like? Considering such questions is a missionary thing to do, Paul suggests. In the end, the blessing of such grace-filled, savory conversation and wise living will lead to questions from outsiders who may be looking for answers, who may want to know the reason for the hope that is in us. Such conversation begins, however, by conversing again and again with Christ, listening to his grace-filled word of forgiveness, his wholesome life-giving teaching, His clear and true promise of hope. The Holy Spirit will bless such conversation, and through it, make missionaries out of us all. For Jesus' sake, amen.
We thank Pastor Andrew Fields for today's meditation on God's Word.